After weeks of being on strike, about 20 drivers from the ABC division of Autobus Yamaska in Bedford, which serves schools that fall under the Eastern Township School Board, have reached an agreement with Sodresco, which owns the ABC division of Autobus Yamaska, to improve working conditions, including a salary increase. Marc-André Gauthier, Director of Communications for Teamsters Canada, the union that represents the drivers, explained that after being on strike since the beginning of May, an agreement was finally reached at the end of last week. During this time, however, various routes and schools in Bro-Missisquoi were affected, including Butler Elementary, Farnham Elementary, Heroes Memorial, Massivany High School, and Campus Bro-Missisquoi. Marc-André noted that while the strike may be over and an agreement has been made, the situation raised many questions about the industry that will be significant for future negotiations. Good day, listeners. My name is Taylor McClure, and thank you all for tuning in to CIDI's daily news show, Township's Daily News Bits. Please enjoy our conversation with Marc-André and chairperson for the Eastern Township School Board, Michael Murray. For all the details about the situation, the purpose behind the agreement, and what this means for the affected routes and drivers moving forward. Marc-André, thank you so much again for taking the time out of your day to chat with CIDI. I really appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
So, Marc-André, some bus drivers with the ABC division of Autobus Yamaska, represented by Teamsters Canada, which you represent and serves the ETSB, have been on strike since May, which interrupted some bus routes here in Bro-Missisquoi. Now, the situation can be complicated for those on the outside, but from my understanding, the frustration stems from the complications that arise with all these different agreements between transporters, unions, school boards, and the provincial government. So what about these agreements led to a shortage in bus drivers and left bus drivers feeling the need to strike?
Yeah, but I believe there are two different things here. The first one, I'd say, is, you know, in Bedford, at least, they've been working without a contract for a long time, or close to a year. So if you put yourself in their shoes, you'll realize that, you know, you're working every day, you're working with your old salary, technically. Things have not been, like, kept up to speed, if I could say. So basically, their employer had been refusing to really negotiate for the better part of the year. So at some point, when you want to improve your condition, you form this negotiation committee. Every time you meet with them, they basically tell you, look, we can give you more money. It's really frustrating, right? For the better part of the year, they refuse to just sit at the table and just negotiate. So what they did, since they're part of a union, right, they form an assembly and they discuss, look, what can we do? So they decided to give themselves what they call a strike mandate, and they decided to go for it because it was for them the only way to show to their employer that they're serious in their requests and whatnot. So, and it's a democratic right? So you can't be against that. And the other thing you said, it's interesting because it's the way these companies, they operate, basically. So how does it work? Those companies, even though they're private, right, they're 100% funded by public money. So how does it work is that the government will give every school board and every school service centers a grant at the beginning of the year for school transports. Then these service centers and school boards, they'll negotiate with those companies. Look, I need transport for that many students. What's your best price, basically? And these companies have been arguing these last couple of years that they're not receiving enough money, especially when you're taking into account inflation and gas price and whatnot. So these are kind of the two factors that led to the strike. But at the end of the day, it was really the refusal of the employers to sit at the table that led to the strike.
And so basically what they're asking for is better working conditions and a better salary, if I'm understanding correctly.
Yeah, of course. But before we've secured this new work agreement, the average salary in that region was $22,000 per year for those bus drivers. And I think you and I can both agree that in 2023, it's not enough money to get by. Even if you keep things at a bare minimum, $22,000, it's just not enough. Especially when you compare their salaries to other bus drivers, like that work for cities or even for companies that, you know, those big buses you see on the highway, they make three times or four times less money, even though they're responsible for the safety of our children, bringing them to school safely. So we've always found that quite ridiculous, and it raises a good question for the future. How come this whole industry can still operate on cheap labor, basically? But it's perhaps a debate for the future, because as of today, we have a work agreement that basically give them more money and better work conditions. So for the foreseeable future, at least, they'll be they'll be operating without any disturbance.
And now, like you mentioned, you've come to an agreement, and a press release was sent out by Teamsters Canada at the end of last week to mention that the strike for the ABC division of Outabusiamaska is over.
Yeah. Like you said, for Bedford at least, these are done. By the way, on the South Shore of Montreal and Saint-Julie and Longueuil, we've managed to secure work contracts with Sogesco as well. They're all part of this big company. In Outaouais, things have been more problematic. We have 200 drivers working for Sogesco's over there that are on strike since May 1st. But at least we're starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel, if I may. And as long as it's not the train coming our way, we're quite happy with it. What I mean by that is, no, Sogesco have been... the company has been refusing to sit with us since the very beginning of the strike and even the beginning of the year. And now, since these last couple of days, since we've secured all those contracts on the South Shore of Montreal, we've seen a shift in attitude. Basically, they sat with us. We've reached two tentative agreements. One got rejected. However, we feel we can work this out still. And another one will be voted on in the next couple of days. So things are working better with Sogesco. A small problem we have in Outaouais is that there's another company called Autobus Campo. It's way smaller than Sogesco, but it's still a big company in that region, at least. We haven't received any offer, and they still haven't, like, got back to the table. So, you know, we're going to see how it goes, but at least with Sogesco, things are going better. We're in discussion, which is a great thing.
And I wasn't sure if you were able to highlight this for our listeners, but I was just wondering, you know, the agreement, I was wondering if you could highlight some of the changes that were brought forth from those agreements in terms of the working conditions and salaries of the employees.
Yeah, of course, without going in every details, I can say, though, that they got a salary increase. Now they'll be making north of $26 an hour. It might seem a lot, but don't forget that they don't really work full time. By that, I mean that they work a couple of hours in the morning, they work a couple of hours in the afternoon, but still, it's a good increase for them. And of course, there are clauses in place for future, for indexation, to call inflation and whatnot. So they receive a salary increase, and also their general conditions really improved. Everything's regarding per diem for lunch, or if they're on the road, they need to buy a meal because they're on the school train or whatnot. Also, everything regarding, you know, maintenance of the bus or inspections and whatnot. So yeah, I'd say generally speaking, this contract really improves things, at least for the next couple of years.
And now, what does this mean moving forward? Will the bus routes pick back up again?
Well, as we speak, I believe they're driving. Of course, this is the last week for regular school, elementary and high schools, but yeah, they're back at work, and at the beginning of the next school year this fall, they'll be working without any disturbance, like I said. So yeah, they're back at work at Bedford for the next couple of years at least.
Well, thank you so much, Marc-André. I wasn't sure if there was anything else that you wanted to highlight for our community that I may not have brought up in my questions.
Perhaps we'd like to thank the community basically for the support. We've been receiving lots of support comments from parents and students because, of course, they've been affected. It wasn't easy for everybody, but at least they understood the fight that these drivers were fighting. You know, they're a big part of their community. They deserve more. And at least because they stood their ground and they've been shown respect, and basically, the strike has been about respect. Now, at least they'll be making more money, they'll have a better job, and the company will be able to operate more efficiently, we believe so. Also, perhaps one thing for general knowledge, there's a good reason why this strike went longer than any school transportation strike ever before. It's because basically all those contracts that the school boards pass with those companies, there's always this clause that said that after 7 days, these companies, they can provide you with their services, you have a right to void the contract and find a new supplier. But what's happening in Quebec, what we've been seeing is that we have seen more big companies buying all those smaller companies. So it's very hard, basically, to find a new supplier that's not part of your big conglomerate. And usually those big conglomerates, they have a kind of a peace agreement between them, so they won't steal each other's ground. So at the end of the day, it's giving less power to the public institutions at play here. So yeah, perhaps it's something we want to consider for the future, but at least Sogesco has shown goodwill recently and sat with us, and we've managed to still get good agreements. So yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Marc-André, for providing that information. I really appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. Have a good day.
Michael, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with CIDI as always. I really appreciate it.
It's a pleasure.
So some drivers with the ABC division of Otobusiemaska, which serves the Eastern Township School Board, have been on strike since May, which interrupted some bus routes here in Bromissisqua. How did this affect students over the last few weeks?
It certainly had a big impact on students and their families. The schools, of course, remained open, but we were unable to provide the bus transportation. So parents had to find ways to get their kids to school. And I'm happy to say that there were a few cases in which students were unable to get to school every day. But for the most part, and we're talking now approximately 280 students who were impacted by this. Virtually all of them got to school all of the time.
And did you try to find another transporter in the meantime to fill in this gap, and it just wasn't working?
Well, we did check with other transporters, but there was really no will by them to become strike breakers, which would have been their role. And in any case, no real ability to find, at very short notice, extra school buses and extra drivers. We're chronically short of drivers as it is. So it really wasn't a viable alternative. We did talk to our other transporters, but as I say, they didn't have the ability to react quickly.
Okay. Now, I spoke with the union that represents the drivers that were involved in the strikes, particularly for the ABC division of Otobusiemaska, as to why these strikes were taking place and where the frustration stems from. But I didn't know if you wanted to maybe comment on this as well.
Yes, we're not directly involved in those negotiations. As a school board, we're a customer of the bus contractor. And the bus contractors have their own negotiation platform with the government, which basically with Treasury Board, to determine how much they get paid. And it's a complex issue because every route has different distances to travel. Fuel costs go up and down. We've been encountering inflation. And then there's a complication that the Minister of Transport has announced that from now forward, all buses purchased must be new electric buses, which means bus transporters are facing huge costs to install high-capacity rapid charging stations that will permit their buses to be recharged between bringing kids to school in the morning and taking them back at night in order to have enough range or capacity of battery to make the whole run, and most of our runs are quite long. So they're facing a whole new financial picture, and the contractors in turn, having had their negotiation with the government, turn around and negotiate with their own unions, and not every contractor has the same union. So in this particular case, Otobusiemaska union was not satisfied with the initial offers of their employers, and so they struck, and they finally reached some kind of compromise.
Yes, that's what I was about to mention. The union, it's called Teamsters Canada. They sent out a press release recently highlighting the fact that the strike is over. And for the ABC division, Otobusiemaska, I want to point out, because there are various negotiations going on across the province right now. So this must be a relief for the ETSB, especially as you mentioned, because there was no other transporter that could be found to fill in the gaps in the Western sector. So do you think the agreement is a step in the right direction?
Definitely a step in the right direction. This year, the impact is minimal. The settlement is very recent, and bus transportation resumed only on Monday. Our school year ends this week, and so what we're most satisfied with is that we don't have any concerns for the re-entry in September. The good news, or at least the consolation for all of this, is that we will be compensating families whose children were not transported. We'll be compensating them for the expense or the dislocation of having to get their kids to school. So very soon we will be paying those families for the transportation that they had to arrange or do themselves.
Okay, that's really good to know for the parents out there.
I'm sure some of them will be very, very relieved or pleased that they've, you know, some probably had to miss hours of work or at the very least use their own gasoline and cars to get their kids to school. Something that we very much appreciate. I want to mention that we had great cooperation and very little grumbling directed at the school board. My parents understood that we didn't have anything to say about the relationship between the transporter and the union, and that we were as much of a spectator and a victim as the students and their families. But we're happy to be able to take the money, which we weren't paying to the bus contractors when they weren't traveling or weren't carrying students, to reimburse the parents with that money to offset some of their costs.
So basically, if I'm understanding correctly, this is just out of my own curiosity. So when the Ministry of Transport distributes its funding, it goes to the school boards, and then the school boards distribute it to their transportation partners, and then they distribute it to their, then they pay their employers depending on whatever is distributed to them.
Yeah, you understand. So for the 30 days that they didn't transport students, we will use that that funding to pay for the transportation of students by other means. So
okay.
You asked about us finding other transporters. We couldn't find bus operators. So obviously the parents themselves were transporting, or, you know, however they arranged it, transporting their kids. So we're very happy to use those resources to compensate the parents for that service.
Well, those are all the questions that I had for you, Mr. Murray, about the strike and the results of it and what's going to happen moving forward. I wasn't sure if there was anything else that you wanted to point out about the situation that the community should be aware of.
Well, I think, as I said, we're very grateful to the parents who seemed in large measure to understand the situation was beyond our immediate direct control, and to wish them a happy and carefree summer, knowing that the buses will be available come September. And meanwhile, if we can get those checks out in the next couple of weeks, parents will be receiving their compensation.
And do parents have to reach out to the ETSB for this? Or the
ETSB? No, we're looking after that. Our finance department has agreed to assume that extra burden. This is a very burdened time of year for them, getting to the year end. New budgets, the government, of course, chronically late with giving us any idea of how much funding the government will provide. And so setting up our budgets and planning for our expenditures for next year. But finance has said that they think in the next couple of weeks they can get those checks out to parents.
Great. Well, thank you so much again for chatting with us. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Have a great afternoon.
CIDI reached out to Sojusco for comment, but they declined as a result of ongoing negotiations with other unions in the province. Townships Daily News Bits is a program sponsored by Local Journalism Initiative.